Defending the truth of the gospel, because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Today we continue our discussion of the Christian Research Journal, our flagship publication designed to inform and equip you with relevant information so that you can defend the faith with confidence. Joining us again is editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, with a reminder that we're going to be taking your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, will join me in answering your questions. We do want to say a couple of things about the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that you should not be without. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We were exercised yesterday right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we were talking about a book by Stephen Hawking. It's titled The Grand Design. And the premise of the book is that we now, in an age of scientific enlightenment, can not only explain how the universe leapt into existence, but we can now explain the why of the universe existence, according to Stephen Hawking, is fully explained by spontaneous creation and the force of gravity. Because there is a law-like gravity, he says, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing, he writes. Why the universe exists and why we exist, it is not necessary to invoke God to set the universe going. Which raises a question which we've addressed from time to time right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. How many explanations are there for the existence of the universe? And the truth is, philosophical naturalism, or the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, can provide only three explanations. First is the notion that the universe is merely an illusion, which carries little weight in an age of scientific enlightenment. Second, the notion that the universe sprang from nothing. That proposition flies in the face of both the laws of cause and effect and energy conservation. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. There are simply no free lunches. The conditions that hold true in this universe prevent any possibility of matter springing out of nothing. The third possibility is that the universe eternally existed. Now, the law of entropy, which predicts that a universe that has eternally existed would have died an eternity ago, died of a heat loss death, is devastating to that hypothesis. Well, from a Christian perspective, we say there is another possibility, and it is found in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we say that in an age of empirical science, nothing could be more certain, clear, or correct. And we say further that as a believer, we need always to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. We can't dodge the arguments. We have to engage the arguments and use bad theories, theories like nothing creates everything, as springboards or opportunities pointing forward to the reality that God created the universe, and that the God who created the universe became knowable in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, so that our faith is not a blind faith, but a faith in evidence, a faith that we can pass on to our kids, a faith that we must pass on to our kids, a faith by which we must reach the millennial generation. And one of the reasons we produce the Christian Research Journal is to equip you to do just that, to be ready to give an answer, to be able to point people to an answer. The Christian Research Journal is must reading. If you're listening to my voice and you've never subscribed, take the opportunity to subscribe today. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And do remember, if you love the Ring of Truth, if you want to stand with a ministry that does what it does because truth matters, join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. As our way of saying thank you, you get the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal. Again, as our way of not only saying thank you, but our way of equipping you further to be an effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in making a difference for time and for eternity. Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, joins me on air. And Elliot, I know that you have always believed that this is a strategic, an important, a vital tool in the arsenal of the believer in this particular epoch of time in particular.
Well, yes, Hank. And you know what? It has something to do with turning what would appear to be a challenge to faith into an opportunity for faith or an encouragement to faith. We live in a time in which faith is under attack from every direction conceivable, and especially people going through the university system or even high school biology classes are going to, or compared to religion, they're going to have their faith come under attack. And so we can either, you know, develop a trench mentality and go into retreat from the world to try to preserve our faith, or we can reassess, why am I believing in the first place? Am I believing because I'm, you know, I'm afraid of death and I'm just hoping that this is true? Am I believing because I got a warm, fuzzy feeling from, church? Or am I believing because I believe this really is the truth, that on some level, some deep existential level, I have been convicted of the truthfulness of my own sin, of the truthfulness of God's existence, of the truthfulness of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, who came and died for us and rose again from the dead and promised eternal life to those who believe on his name. Now, if we believe that that is true, then we've got to be logically consistent. If that is true, then the Word of God is true on all matters on which it touches. It's not like it's just true in some religious realm, but in the realm of history or in the realm of science, it's false. It's never presented that way. Jesus said, Scripture cannot be broken. He said, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass until all be fulfilled. He taught a complete confidence in the Word of God, and he is the Son of God. We believe that. So, on the basis of that, we need to be logically consistent and realize that we should not be afraid of facts. We should not be afraid of arguments against our faith. We should have a confidence that our faith can sustain those attacks and those challenges. And so the Christian Research Journal wants to meet you at that point and give you a tool and a resource to be able to deal with the challenges that are every day, every month, being lobbed against the Christian faith through the media, through science, you know, through the educational system, and just through the pop culture. So as we encounter these challenges, as they become known, and oftentimes we see them coming down the line ahead of time at CRI because that's what we are, as a research institute. We've got our finger on the pulse of the culture. Well, we prepare. We go out and we either tap our own people or we go out and we tap the most qualified evangelical scholars on the given subject or researchers, and we give them time to prepare a carefully researched article that's written on a lay level It's a little more demanding than your average article. It's a little longer. It's got footnotes. There's some technical terms, but we define them. And with that, then, you're exercising your mind. You're learning to love the Lord your God with your mind as well as your heart, soul, and strength, as Jesus commanded us to do. And as you do that, then you become encouraged to recognize there are answers and that our faith can survive attack. And it really is true. And so this whole thing that we deal with in the Christian Research Journal is one of turning challenges into faith, into an encouragement for faith. And your faith is now with a confidence that you do not have to be afraid of what the world is throwing at us. And so that's what the journal does, is it's a resource in the hands of the Christian to prepare them to go out and give a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with reverence.
Talking to Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. And obviously we have, as we talk about the Christian Research Journal, tapped a nerve. Thousands of you calling in, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Bob, listening on WCRV, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Bob.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
It strikes me, having been involved in the pharmaceutical industry, that my scientific background has taught me a couple of things about scientific observation as it applies to medical science. And I've noticed a trend in studying history that I'd like to share and have you maybe comment on it.
Sure.
And that is simply this. If we go back to the 17th century, there was a gentleman by the name of Semmelweis, who discovered through scientific observation that when his students came out of the autopsy theater where they were doing classes on anatomy and washed their hands before going into the maternity ward to deliver babies, the survival rate of the children and the women was much higher than those who did not wash their hands from coming from autopsy and going to deliver babies. Now, he published his findings and recommended that all physicians wash their hands between treating patients. The upshot of that were that the great thought leaders in medicine of his day had him drummed out of medical practice and blackballed him, because in their thinking, physicians' hands were for healing, not for spreading infection. What they didn't know was that there were microbes that existed. My point in sharing that story as it relates to this is that when we're using scientific observation to try to explain our universe or the things that are going around us, we are limited by the tools and the technology that we have and the extent to which we can observe. In the 17th century, they didn't have advanced microscopes, so they didn't understand the existence of viruses and microbes, which today we look back on the story of Semmelweis and we think how ridiculous that a man who made such a great discovery would have been thrown out of medicine, but in his day, that was what was done. Most recently, several years ago, the Hubble Space Telescope was pointed in the darkest portion of space that they could determine existed. NASA took photographs, and what they discovered was billions of galaxies they never knew even existed. So what it points to me is that mankind's understanding of the universe as it is created, as it exists, is so small compared to the potential reality of it, that when a scientist comes along, as Mr. Hawkins has done, and says, I have found the answer to all answers, but his very answer that he's postulated flies in the face of known science, then you start running into some real problems, because he can't prove what he's done. For example, his theory that there are multiple universes. There is no proof there is more than one universe, and by definition, there really only is one universe. So I would like you all to comment on the fact that what happens is each time we re-explore this, we keep finding the fingerprints of God. The Genesis creation story is never contradicted, but really more or less endorsed by the new findings of science. And from an apologetic standpoint, I think this is a good point to make to people who point to the Big Bang Theory, who point to science. They have to understand that we have limitations. We really don't know as much as maybe we think we do. And that's my comment.
Well, I can only stand back and applaud, Elliot.
Yes, I absolutely think that was well stated. I really appreciate that perspective. And I'll even acknowledge that although the Big Bang Theory is certainly consistent with a biblical creation account, it is exactly what he just said. It is what science understands at the moment. And, you know, it could turn out tomorrow that the Big Bang Theory will be discredited. The biblical faith stood firm prior to the development of the Big Bang Theory when they believed in the steady state theory that the universe was eternal. You know, I mean, we just simply disagreed with science on that point, even as we do on the point of macroevolution. And so ultimately, you just have to realize that science is, by definition, discovering the physical universe. It can't tell us about the metaphysical realm. We are limited, as the caller stated, and we would be perhaps in a hopeless situation, except that God has made himself known, and he's given us compelling evidence to that fact, and that through the Bible, information we could not have figured out on our own or arrived at on our own is given to us to give us the basic answers to the purpose of life and the way to salvation.
Bob, thank you very much for your contribution right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with Elliot Miller and more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Did humans evolve from hominids? Did God use Darwinian evolution to create all things? How can we befriend Mormons while showing them the real Jesus? How has the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche affected our culture? Answers to these and other questions are found in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, a subscription magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe online at equip.org or talk to a resource consultant by calling 888-7000-CRI. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this. Biblical illiteracy is the biggest problem in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, our mission is to remedy that woeful situation. One of the ways we've endeavored to do this is by compiling some of the most important questions and answers from the Bible Answer Man broadcast onto one CD. Always Prepared, Answers from God's Word, is a resource that'll give you the answers you need when faced with tough questions. Always Prepared covers topics such as the Trinity, Mormonism, eschatology, the inerrancy of Scripture, divorce and remarriage, Islam, and much more. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have when you order Always Prepared, Answers from God's Word on audio CD by calling the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or by logging on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions. Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled, Looking Under the surface of the millennial generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article, Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication featuring relevant, engaging articles with contributions from some of the most respected evangelical thinkers and theologians in the church today, as well as book reviews, witnessing tips, the insightful Ask Hank column, and so much more. Start your subscription today. When you become a Bible Answer Man monthly supporter, we'll send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. Just call us at 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Joining me is Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. We're taking your questions as well as talking about the Christian Research Journal. Just before the break, Bob called, and it wasn't as much a question but a very insightful comment. And I would say that if you go back to Darwin's day, to Bob's point, a human egg was thought to be quite simple for all practical purposes, little more than a microscopic blob of gelatin. Well, today we know that a fertilized egg is among the most organized, complex structures in the universe. And in an age of scientific enlightenment, it is incredible to think that people are still willing to maintain that something so vastly complex arose by chance. And then to your point, Elliot, from the time of the Greeks through the 19th century, Christians virtually stood alone against the notion of an eternal universe. And now science has come around and agreed that positing an eternal universe simply flies in the face of scientific paradigms and facts.
That's right. And the thing about this is that it leaves them wanting an explanation for how the universe began. Because when you really understand the Big Bang Theory, it's not just saying that there were pre-existing laws, forces, you know, and just sort of a void of matter, and out of these laws and forces, matter emerged, you know, but time and space already were there. No, the Big Bang Theory, properly understood, says all of creation, time, space, matter, energy, emerged at that split, you know, millisecond that the Big Bang occurred. And so What pre-existed was literally nothing. And when you follow that to its logical conclusion, you've got to have a source outside of all of those categories, outside of time and space, matter and energy, physical energy, as the source, or else you really do have something coming out of nothing. And, of course, the Bible gives such a satisfying answer, really, that which always existed is an eternal, conscious, intelligent, purposeful being, because only if that's what ultimate reality is can we understand ourselves. Otherwise, we as conscious, intelligent, purposeful beings are a product of a non-purposeful, non-intelligent, non-conscious, non-living universe. Well, how did that happen? How do we explain ourselves? You see, our very nature is that we are moral beings, rational beings. But our rationality and morality are not something that will be sustained if we view it as something that we ourselves create. It's then arbitrary. We need absolute morality, absolute rationality to ground what we are. And they can only be grounded in this eternal, conscious, purposeful being, God. If the universe is nothing but matter, blind, you know, energy and matter and forces and happenstance, then, you know, our own beings are an anomaly in the universe that cannot be explained.
And the Apostle Paul says it ever so eloquently, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We'll go right back to the phone lines, talk to Chad. He's listening in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hi, Chad.
Good evening, Mr. Anagraff.
Good evening.
Hey, my question is specifically, is I got my notes here, let's see. Why are Christians so busy trying to prove creation or God? I think I know a great way to prove God's existence is by the way I live my life. And in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great faith chapter. Faith cometh, well, let's see, Hebrews 11:6, Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:3. It tells us, you know, we can't prove God. I believe in God by faith. I can't put God in a test tube, you know? And I just feel like it's a good excuse for people to be ever learning but never doing. You know, we are to live out the faith. I mean, our time on this earth is short. Why do we waste so much time trying to prove God and his creation and his beautiful creation? I mean, Hank, in my heart, you know, I just want to serve the Lord. And my duty is on this earth is to try to witness to the world and get people saved.
Well, and that's what we're attempting to do. And let me try to get at this one way and then let Elliot come into this discussion as well. But Chad, I have always been convinced from the time that I myself became a believer that we're not called to blind faith. We're called to faith in evidences. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. So we're always appealing to reasoned faith, faith in evidence. So we say that there's evidence for God. We say there's evidence that God revealed himself in time and space. There's evidence for the resurrection. There's evidence for the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. So I think we do need to be equipped to counter the godlessness, the wickedness of a generation with answers that are satisfying, because there are a lot of people in the world who have been won over by bad arguments. I was one of them. For many years of my life, I held to the evolutionary paradigm. And it wasn't until someone challenged me to look at the evidence that I looked at the evidence. As a result of looking at the evidence, I found myself on my knees asking Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. Now, I will admit that as I look back at that time with 20/20 hindsight, the reason I didn't believe was not that I couldn't believe, but I wouldn't believe, which is to say that I didn't want to live within the parameters God set forth for me to live within, so I conveniently rationalized him out of existence. But it, in the end, was evidences that caused me to start looking at the shaky pillars of a treehouse that I had built and find out that I was not on solid ground at all, start reevaluating, and then bowing the knee to the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Elliot?
Yes, and you know, we need to have a biblical understanding of what faith is. I mean, in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, the author, you know, clearly states that by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not the things which are eternal, you know, and the things of God. So surely the presence of God, God is by nature invisible. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, that in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? And so clearly, there is an element of faith that we believe in that which we have not seen. I mean, Jesus told Thomas, because you've seen, have you believed? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. But we need to understand that that is not the same thing as saying believing without evidence, believing without reason. That is completely an unbiblical idea of faith that does exist. It's known as fideism.
I just want to say one thing, though. See, my faith is based... I mean, I believe in God because of the Scripture. I believe in the full inspiration of Scripture is the infallible Word of God. And it says,
but why do you believe in Scripture?
Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God."
Okay, but why do you believe that is the Word of God?
Because I believe by faith. Like I say, I can't prove God. I can't prove God created.
But you see, you're arguing in a circle here. You're saying that you believe the Word of God, Scripture, because it is the Word of God, and you believe it's the Word of God because Scripture says it is. You know, and a non-believer, I will tell you, as an atheist, at the age of 16, when I first encountered Christians and they gave me that kind of an argument for faith, it completely turned me off, and it's a miracle I ever got saved after that, because I saw them as hopelessly in a fallacious circular reasoning. And that's not what the Bible teaches. You got to understand that all the way throughout history, God gave evidence for faith. Miracles were always given to demonstrate that this is the living God and not one of the false gods. And we have logical reason for believing this because it's credible eyewitness testimony of miracles that changed history, whether it was the Exodus of the Jews from Egypt into the Promised Land or whether it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. These were all accounted for by credible eyewitnesses, and it changed history. It's the only explanation for these history-changing events that fits the facts. So biblical faith has always been evidential, based on evidences. And that's why we believe the Bible, because it is reliable and because it is confirmed by history and because on every level it stands up to scrutiny.
And not only, as you point out, Elliot, did Chad engage in a circular argument, but also in saying that he believes in Scripture, he misinterpreted Scripture. Hebrews 11, which Chad brought up, doesn't say you cannot prove God's existence. In fact, the lives of the very individuals listed in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 are put forward to exhibit evidence for the wonderful faithfulness of God. In other words, they're living proofs for the truth claims of Scripture. So I think it's important not only to engage in arguments that are solid and not to engage in circular arguments, but in addition, it's critical that if we say we believe in the Bible, that we rightly interpret the Bible, that we learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. Otherwise, we're in danger of telling people that the Bible says something that the Bible, in fact, does not say. And this is one of the things that we do at the Christian Research Institute. It's what we do in the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Certainly what we do in the Christian Research Journal. We teach people how to think critically, how to probe today's religious movements, how to promote doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and then how to provide reasons for faith and for ethics. The Christian Research Journal helps us always to be ready to give an answer. Now, I didn't make that up. You can find that in Colossians 4:6 and 1 Peter 3:15. We need always to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. But we need to be ready to give an answer, to use our well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth, the love, the grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. We'll be right back with more of your calls and Elliot Miller, so please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is a one-of-a-kind magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with trustworthy content you can depend on. Get a biblical perspective on current events, religious movements, and cultural trends, and gain the discernment skills you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this. Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik Vanderbreggen's article, Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith, on the other as peace-loving pacifists. In the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was painfully obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. Many of us know Muslims already in our neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, brings together the best articles of the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order this unique hardbound book on Islam, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org. The millennial generation has been characterized as selfish, sexually permissive, and technologically addicted. Yet a deeper exploration reveals a generation that has been raised and therefore shaped by the baby boomers. But like every generation since the dawn of time, millennials need to know that they are broken and sinful, and that they live in a universe created by a God so loving that He gave His only Son so that we may have life. Learn how you can reach this generation with the truth of the gospel when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Simply call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And joining me, Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, as we take your questions as well as discuss the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. And one of the premises of the Christian Research Institute, Elliot, is that we do need to be ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. This is an imperative. It's an instruction. We need to be ready.
Yes, and I do believe that it was very beneficial for our brother Chad to have called in and to have given us his reasoning on the matter, because we often stress that there's a need for Christians to understand the biblical definition of faith and the need for apologetics, and we state that many Christians out there do not appreciate these things. This is why it's so important to support the Christian Research Institute, because we're working for a paradigm shift within the church, and it's good to have real-life examples of people who do take a different position on the very subject of what is the reason for faith, what is the need for apologetics, just to demonstrate that there really is a need for education in this area.
And it's interesting, if you look at the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, there's an article on Mormon evangelism. And one of the things Mormons oftentimes do is they look past the evidence, because today Mormonism is in trouble. You can demonstrate that Mormonism is not true from both an archaeological perspective as well as from an anthropological perspective. So now Mormonism is in real trouble, because their whole paradigm, their Book of Mormon, flies in the face of facts. In light of that, a lot of Mormons say, well, let's not talk about facts, let's do friendshiping. Let's win people over by friendship, and if someone wants to discuss the facts with respect to the Book of Mormon, either faulty facts or faulty ethics, we'll just say accept it by a random feeling, a burning in the bosom.
Right, and we'll get the person to do that by encouraging them to pray about it, because if you don't want to pray about something, well, that sounds like you're very closed-minded and, frankly, unspiritual. You don't want to pray. So, you know, that's the angle. But, yes, this friendshipping thing is a very interesting thing, because Mormons actually have some very effective means of evangelism, which explains their growth. And these means in the proper context are not bad ideas even for Christians. In other words, you know, we should represent Christ well to our neighbors. We should be there to help people who are moving in or who are, you know, repairing a house that was damaged by a hurricane or something. That kind of neighborliness, you know, we're told to love our neighbor. So, you know, it's a good thing. And we shouldn't live in cloistered, walled in Christian ghettos. We should be out reaching out to people, developing friendships with non-believers so that they can experience and hear about Christ through us. You know, so these are good means, except that these things should be supporting a message that's based in fact and in truth, in the Bible, which is what the Christian gospel is. That's where the Mormons fall short. They've got great methods, but they lack the substantial message of truth that is supported by history. And so that's when they tell you to pray about the Book of Mormon, and then you'll receive a subjective confirmation, a burning in the bosom, a warm feeling inside that this is really the Word of God. The Book of Mormon is really true. Well, you know, that's against the evidence that there really wasn't this Jewish migration to the Americas, and the evidence that has been found on that both archaeologically and through DNA analysis, as well as the fact that it's in conflict with Scripture itself. So it's a wake-up call for us, because at one time in my early Christian walk, I put too much stock in my own personal testimony, my own subjective experience of the Holy Spirit as a reason for my faith. And then one day at my job, I was 21 years old, I'd been a Christian for 2 years, and a guy came into work there who was a Mormon, and he was just as evangelistic as I was. So we had lunch together, and he was bearing his testimony to me and telling me he was speaking in my language, you know, that the Holy Spirit has come upon him and confirmed to him that this is true. And I thought, whoa, I mean, we've got dueling experiential confirmations, dueling testimonies. We need an arbitrator. We need an objective rule for our faith. And, of course, that has got to be the Bible. And so I began to realize through that that subjective experience can only go so far. It's got to flow from an objective basis grounded in Scripture.
And if you look at, Elliot, what's going on in the classroom today, where you have people like Bart Ehrman, the chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who has written quite a number of very significant books that are wildly popular, he is taking on the Bible, saying that the Bible cannot be trusted. He's taking on Jesus Christ and saying Jesus Christ was a false apocalyptic prophet. There have to be responses. We can't simply not have a response, because what happens in the classroom is he gets evangelical Christians, and he's quite proud of this. He says they're usually the last to fall, but eventually they do fall, because when he gives them the evidence that the biblical manuscripts that we have today contain more mistakes than the New Testament has words, that's enough to shake the faith. But then he can pile on if he starts saying, you know, Jesus Christ believed that his second coming would happen within a generation, and he reads the text, and the person that's unwary doesn't recognize that he has no clue on how to read the Bible in light of the Bible, or follow the analogy of faith, as the Reformers called it. They have no answer. They're shaken in their faith, and a lot of Christians start to have doubts. They may not voice those doubts, but they're starting to put less and less credence in the Bible, and all the while the culture's pouring on, because the culture's giving them all kinds of excuses to live apart from God.
Yes, absolutely. And just, you know, in response to Chad's comment that why are we so concerned about proving creation, you know, what he wants to do is to be out sharing the gospel. Well, I applaud that he wants to be out sharing the gospel, but so do we, and we are. But when you are sharing the gospel in this day and age, unlike a couple generations ago in the United States of America, you really have got to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you, because people have been influenced by Bart Ehrman. They've been influenced by Stephen Hawking, and they're not going to accept, well, just believe it because the Bible says so, and the Bible is the Word of God. Well, why is it the Word of God? Because the Bible says it is. You know, they're not going to be satisfied by that argument any more than I was when I was 16 years old.
Back to the phone lines, let's talk to Jason. He's listening on KCCV in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. I got a quick question concerning the dinosaurs and the man's fall. Would the dinosaurs have to die out after the man fell, since they're eating each other and being in pain and they having all that heartache? Would that have anything to do with man's fall?
Well, a couple of things about dinosaurs. The first is that Christians are not united when it comes to explaining dinosaurs. But all Christians agree that there are dinosaurs, but there are a lot of Christians who say the dinosaurs were created in a day age, which is to say that 65 million years before the creation of humankind, dinosaurs had been created and died out and were extinct. All of that happened in a day age. There are other Christians that say, no, dinosaurs lived at the exact same time that human beings lived, and they would point to passages like Job 40 or Job 41 with Behemoth and Leviathan being examples of dinosaurs. So there are different views within the Christian worldview on how to process the whole subject of dinosaurs. Elliot?
Yes, I happen to be of the day-age persuasion and have been for many, many, many years. And it's my belief that the universe was created not originally in a state that would be a paradise for man. The Garden of Eden was an isolated paradisical location in a universe that is pretty much the way the universe is now. And I take to heart Paul's words in Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who had the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly. We wait eagerly for our adoption and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. You know, and he says in the previous verse, verse 20, he says, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So in just a few words to explain a very complex belief, I believe that God created the world with the second law of thermodynamics, which at its heart is the explanation for all the death and decay and everything in this world. And in that structure, you have predatory creatures as part of the system. I believe that if Adam would have passed the test in the Garden of Eden, at that point, the children of God would have been revealed. The world would have been translated from mortality to immortality, and it would have been turned into the paradise we read about in Revelation 21 and 22. But that was postponed because man needed to be redeemed. And so, therefore, I don't have a problem with dinosaurs or other things in the past because I don't believe that the whole universe was imperishable and perfect, free of pain and death, prior to Adam's sin.
Talking to Elliot Miller, he's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and we're talking about a magazine making a difference for time and for eternity, and we're saying that there are a number of different ways in which you can access the Christian Research Journal. One is you can just subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Another thing that you can do is you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, and we'll send you the next six editions of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you for standing with a ministry that does what she does because truth matters. So we ask you today to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, or at least prayerfully consider it. And if you decide to do so, let us know right away. You can access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team there. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Elliot Miller, as always, good to have you on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you, Hank, and as always, it's a pleasure.
And we are, unfortunately, out of time. Look forward to seeing you next time right here where we answer your questions. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, pray earnestly for this ministry. We're making a difference while there's yet time. You're part of the team. Together, we can and will make a difference for His glory, for the extension of His kingdom. We'll see you next time right here with more of the show.
Thank you for tuning into the Bible Answer Man. We would also like to thank Elliot Miller for his contribution to the broadcast. Today, we've discussed many of the insightful features in the Christian Research Journal, and our prayer is that you've been blessed and equipped. We encourage you to subscribe to the journal and become a more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Or to start your subscription online, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Biblical illiteracy is the biggest problem in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, our mission is to remedy that woeful situation. One of the ways we've endeavored to do this is by compiling some of the most important questions and answers from the Bible Answer Man broadcast onto one CD. Always Prepared, Answers from God's Word, is a resource that'll give you the answers you need when faced with tough questions. Always Prepared covers topics such as the Trinity, Mormonism, eschatology, the inerrancy of Scripture, divorce and remarriage, Islam, and much more. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have when you order Always Prepared, Answers from God's Word, on audio CD by calling the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or by logging on to equip.org. That's equip.org.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.